Co-founder of the Ohio Innocence Project joins the morning show. To date, has freed from 25 wrongly convicted people who have served a combined 470 years in prison. The book is out, Blind Injustice. A former prosecutor exposes the psychology and politics of wrongful convictions. Here we are. Glad that you are here, Mark Godsey. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, boy, a former prosecutor, you're quoted as saying you didn't believe that innocent people were sent to prison in this country, and perhaps this work we discuss. Blind Injustice, does this bring to light some of the cases you covered, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, both as a prosecutor and later, you know, I've founded and directed the Ohio Innocence Project. We freed 25 people who served 470 years in prison for crimes they didn't commit, if you can imagine that. And, you know, I'm one of the few people in the movement who formerly served as a prosecutor, so I can sort of look back and see the mentality and understand how this happens. And that's what compelled me to write the book.
Thank you. Tell me a little bit before we get into your work in Blind Injustice. Tell me a little bit about your career journey, Mark.
Yeah, well, after law school, I clerked for a judge, which is pretty typical, for a year, and then worked for a large corporate firm for a couple of years, and then spent 6 years as a federal prosecutor in New York City, the Southern District of New York, which is Manhattan, where I did organized crime, Gambino crime family, major fraud, all kinds of, you know, hijacking cases. Very interesting stuff, and was very much a prosecutor's prosecutor. Then went back to my hometown of Cincinnati and got a law professor job. There was an innocence project there at that school, and the professor who ran it was on sabbatical, so the dean sort of said, you know, look, you got to fill in. You've got this criminal investigation background. But as a prosecutor, I was extremely skeptical, and I remember just going to the first meeting and just sort of rolling my eyes internally at these, like, you know, bleeding heart students that actually think these people might be innocent. And then one of the very first cases we discussed, they did DNA testing and it proved him innocent. And so it was a huge, I mean, that's what I talk about in the first chapter. I call it eye-opener, because it was just a huge eye-opening experience for me that led me to start questioning the attitudes I'd had and many of the things I'd done as a prosecutor.
Yeah.
So from that point, I went on and learned more, and I ultimately founded my own Innocence Project, the Ohio Innocence Project, which, again, now we've freed 25 people in the last 14 years.
Thank you for sharing that. You share stories. The Ohio Innocence Project, sharing stories of what it's like to be victimized by this system. I'm going to throw out a name. What about Nancy Smith?
Yeah, Nancy Smith was a single mother of four. She was had several jobs, you know, your typical hardworking, stressed out single mother, just trying to make all the pieces fit together. And one of her jobs was a bus driver for daycare, a daycare center. And in the late 80s, 60 Minutes aired a segment about these parents who had made allegations in California that their kids had been molested by a daycare center. And 60 Minutes mentioned, you know, that it was a Head Start funded program and the families all made millions of dollars. And after that happened, there were copycat claims at daycare centers all around the country. And interestingly, only ones that had deep pockets, like they were funded by Head Start, you know, the federal program. And now it's recognized that many of those people are innocent. A lot of those things were made up and trumped up for civil settlements, if you can believe that. And Nancy Smith was caught up in one of those. And she was the bus driver. They made allegations that she had molested the children. But there was a bus aide on her bus. There were all kinds of documents proving that couldn't have happened. But her attorney did very little work on it. It was just a very, very sad case. And Dateline NBC actually did an hour-long episode on her case that showed what a travesty of justice it was. She ended up serving 14 years in prison. Her you know, had to have her kids taken away from her before she was found innocent. And but she's been able to now help, you know, raise her grandkids, and she's putting her life back together. But it's just a tale of what can happen when sort of a witch hunt starts in a community, which can sometimes happen when there's allegations of child molestation like that. People get very obviously upset and emotional about it and sometimes lose focus.
Author of Blind Injustice, a former prosecutor, exposes the psychology and politics of wrongful convictions. Mark Godsey with us. Obviously, you talk about Ricky, you talk about Clarence, Dean. Do you also have the answer to, so what do we do? How do we fix the mass disaster, and I'll put that in quotes, of wrongful convictions?
Yeah, I mean, the frustrating thing from someone in my perspective is that you can identify a lot of different procedural steps we can take to make the system more accurate. Because you got to remember, every time we convict an innocent person, that means we've missed the true guilty party. That means they're still out on the street committing more crimes. So like in my case of Clarence Elkins, who was wrongfully convicted of murder, because they focused on the wrong person, the real perpetrator, Earl Mann, stayed out on the street and raped three little girls. And so, you know, not only is it the heartbreak of convicting an innocent person, but we really want to get the bad guy off the street. And you're not doing that when you convict an innocent person. So, yeah, there are a lot of little things you can do, like just even with eyewitness identification, it's now found to be the leading cause of wrongful conviction. A lot of times officers, you know, they have a hunch that somebody did it, but they're not always right. And they even sometimes subconsciously are sort of hinting to a witness who's looking at six photographs who they think did it. Study after study shows that. And they can really reinforce that belief and cause the person to pick the wrong individual. And so having an officer who doesn't know which one is the right answer, which one of the six pictures is the suspect, it's called blind administration. Very simple principle of the scientific method. I mean, we don't do anything in this country scientific unless it's what we call blinded. Yet we convict people and send people to death row based on a survey, which is what an eyewitness identification process is, where there can be all kinds of subtle influence. And so that's a very simple step that will increase the accuracy of eyewitness identifications. There's all sorts of things we can do with forensics. You know, we've got these TV shows like CSI that make these forensic disciplines look like they're, you know, on par with putting man on the moon, like these miracles. But the reality is many of the forensics we use to convict people are quite unreliable. They're not done properly. So I outline steps we can take to make the forensic process much more accurate so we can, you know, not send innocent people away, but we can actually get the guilty people off the street. And those are just a couple of examples.
Hence the title, Blind Injustice, a former prosecutor. That's you, exposing the psychology and politics of wrongful conviction exposes. All right, Mark Godsey, how do we find out more information about your work?
Well, I've got a Facebook group that's actually called Blind Injustice. We just started it when the book came out recently. It's already got over 4,000 people, and there's a lot of discussion going on. I'm posting a lot of studies and links and articles. So that's probably the best place. Facebook group, Blind Injustice. Just go ahead and join.
Thanks for what you do. Again, on behalf of the Ohio Innocence Project and more, we'll continue our read, Blind Injustice. Thank you very much, Mark.
Thank you. Bye-bye.